Hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord. Turn in your Bibles, please, for a moment to the second letter of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. That's our first reading. And just for a couple of moments, well, more than a couple of moments, but for a few moments, I want, as the Lord will help us this morning, to have an understanding, a biblical understanding. The Holy Spirit wants us to know about how to handle disappointment, how to handle tragedy, how to handle what we might say are bad circumstances. And this will be for the youngsters and for all of us. I hope the Lord will speak to us, and even if there's just one thing which just grips us this morning that causes faith to rise instead of fear, glory to his name. You know, there was a common theme throughout the songs this morning and about the victory that is ours in Christ Jesus. Storms do come. Some of you are in the midst of huge storms. The waves are billowing. The wind is blowing. God is wanting to get your attention and say, it is okay, my child, surrender to me. I am with you. What can be changed? What is God saying to you, to me, as you're in the midst of upheaval, handling disappointments? Let's listen to the word of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. And it's talking, of course, to the church. It's talking to the believers. It's talking to Holy Spirit-filled children, the children of God. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. And one of those songs really was, you know, the trading song, the trading of sorrows, bit of the theology there we might struggle with, but it's still nevertheless true. Hallelujah. You know, we are more than conquerors. We may be cast down, but we're not destroyed. There's a purpose to it. What is God saying to you this morning? Hallelujah. Verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. That is powerful. That is so significant. When you're down, it's when the supernatural, the Lord himself, he is manifest in your flesh. He is seen. You're weak, but his power comes through. When you're sorrowful, when you're tearful, his joy can come through. That's the life of Jesus, because he's been there much more than where, you know, he had far, far greater suffering and persecution and hatred and setbacks, if you like, in the natural than ever we. But that's why he's now our perfect high priest. He can sympathize with us. He can minister to us. So when you're down, hey, this is an opportunity for the life of Jesus to come through. His power made perfect in weakness. You know, the Holy Spirit, he doesn't look for the mighty, the noble, the ones with 50 letters after their name. He looks for the Dellas. He looks for the Dominics. He looks for the Almas. He looks for the Jims. Amazing. And indwells us by his Spirit, so that his life is seen when we're struggling. This is an opportunity for the Lord to manifest his risen power. So then death is working us, but life in you. And often, friends, I don't understand this, but it's a principle throughout Scripture, and I see it in people's lives, that sometimes it's not necessary for the person who's going through it that Christ is going to be glorified, but it's what the effect it has on the rest of the body. When one is suffering, when one is going through problems and challenges, we suffer with them. When one is rejoicing and happy and blessed, we're all happy and blessed. But it's the effect, you know, we can see. Sometimes you may be going through a particular storm at this moment in time, and you're wondering where the scene will end. But if you're resting, if you've found that rest in Christ, if he's still your hope, if you've still got confidence in him, then we see the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. This scripture says about the life of Christ in you. It encourages somebody else. Yes, they will make it. And it will encourage us to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Verse 13, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. See, that's the biblical hope. Resurrection day is coming. Hallelujah! It's coming! Resurrection day is coming. That is the blessed hope of the Christian. We look for his coming. In the meantime, all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Can we just go over the page to chapter 11 and reading a few verses there? Verse 24. This is the Apostle Paul's, testimony. And he's just talking about, we'll start reading from verse 23, if you don't mind. 23. Are they ministers of Christ? They speak as a fool. I am more, in labours more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. What a failure. What a complete failure. Seems the Apostle Paul. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen. Well, this guy didn't have much faith, did he? In perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil. Well, he hasn't named and claimed much, has he? In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things that comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. Verse 31. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. Wow, man. How do we handle disappointments? How do we handle setbacks? How do we handle when we're mocked and persecuted? See, friends, how a person handles setbacks and challenges can mean the difference between living a life of victory or living a life filled with bitterness, anger and hostility. So, what is the Lord saying to you, to me this morning? How are we working through a setback, a tragedy? And this is not denying it, friends. We're not saying, oh, well, you know, it's not denying the circumstance. It's not denying the tragedy. It's not denying that we've got real heartache. It's not denying that. It's saying, what is the Lord saying? How are we going to work through this? Are we believing that this setback, this failure, this tragedy is not final and that it may have a purpose? It may have a purpose. The Apostle Paul, we've just read, experienced setback upon setback, but he came through it with victory. Hallelujah. All of us can learn from the Apostle Paul's experience to help us to learn to handle setbacks, tragedy, and trials and testings. See, when we go through such things, what is our first question? Often, well, what is our first question? Why? 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 It's understandable. Why? Why? Why are people doing this to me? Why is this happening to me? Why is God allowing it? Or we may think, well, I've been keeping my prayer life, I've been obedient to his word, I've sought to walk with the Lord. You know, why should this happen to me now? I've tried to do the right thing, I've been tithing, I've done all this, and yet this has happened. And I suggest, friends, that the better question to ask is, what can I learn from this experience? What is the Lord teaching me in this experience? What lessons am I to learn that will make me a more faithful Christian and somebody who will bring glory to Jesus and help the next person when they're in the pit? What is God teaching me through this trial? And from the life of the Apostle Paul, we can find some helpful lessons, I believe, on how to handle extremely difficult, challenging circumstances. Firstly, disappointments and challenges is common to all. There's not one person who doesn't have them come in this life. At various stages of our life, even as children, we will experience different kinds of setbacks, different kinds, if you like, of failure. Some are completely out of our control, others we have a part to play. From the people looking on, Jesus, of course, would have experienced failure. Those who didn't understand his purposes, he was a big failure, wasn't he? And Mark, in fact, you know, thinking of his sufferings and death, and that from the unbeliever's point of view, but we won't read it, but in the Gospel of Mark and chapter 6, the opening verses, an account where Jesus, if you like, experienced failure from a human point of view, because we read in one of the verses that he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. So in a sense, can you see that he experienced a setback? You know, he was a failure. After all, from the world's point of view, Jesus didn't set up his earthly kingdom. He didn't bring peace. So again, from the world's point of view, that is coming. Hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord. His kingdom is now within you. You can have the Prince of Peace reigning in your hearts by faith. Hallelujah. But of course, there's trouble in this world. There's going to be increasing trouble. But one day, he is coming, and he will set up his kingdom. It's an everlasting kingdom. It will never end. And we will reign with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But from the world's point of view, he was a failure. He didn't accomplish. And of course, as we've just read in 2 Corinthians, and particularly the passage in chapter 11, Paul had a whole litany of trouble and setbacks and failure and hardship. He could say, I've been down, as it were, for the count of nine, but I'm getting up. I've been knocked down, but I'm not out. Hallelujah. What a testimony. I thank God that's in the Word. You know, when you read that, and as I was reading it just now, I have the thought, well, why on earth didn't he become a hermit, you know, escape the lot? Well, that wasn't God's purposes, that wasn't God's plan, we wouldn't have the scriptures as we have them if he had. When experience setback, when you experience trouble, and perhaps it will maybe within the family, you may sort of consider, and probably have, staying indoors and pulling the duvet over you, so that you can stay out of harm's way. Of course, the Apostle Paul even had a physical infirmity, we know not what. He had what he called the thorn in the flesh, which wasn't removed. He cried out three times, take it away, take it away, take it away, Lord. God didn't. God didn't. He chose not to because this weakness was going to actually bring glory to the name of Jesus. He accepted this thorn in the flesh. He said, when I am weak, then I am strong. Hallelujah. No confidence in the flesh, friends. No confidence in the flesh. I think, and I often quote, I quote her from a different perspective when we're talking about the name, claim, faith healers. But Johnny Erickson, what a wonderful lady she is. Johnny Erickson. She became a paraclete. Thank you. And she had a diving accident while very young, had a diabetes accident, and became, as it were, confined basically to a wheelchair, and so on. But she has testified. Have we got any books in the library? I'm sure we possibly have. We must have. If you don't know about Johnny, take a book. It will inspire you. It will help you. It will encourage you. Read it alongside the Word of God. But she testifies that her disability pushed her to start a lifelong ministry to help people like herself. And she says that her ministry of comfort and encouragement to others provides for others, and I'm quoting now word for word, I've just taken this out of one of her books, the bride helped for others, a way out of the miry pit of depression, despair and self-pity. She says you realize that there is always someone worse off than you, and from that understanding you find strength to be victorious and carry on even in the toughest situations. And Johnny says, we shouldn't view life struggles as daunting obstacles to our happiness. They can be the very keys to our lasting happiness, true contentment, and godly joy. She's now walking the walk, if you understand what I mean. A common denominator for people who learn how to deal with severe setbacks, tragedies, bereavement, divorce, separation, redundancy, persecution, is that they learn to deal with these hardships and setbacks, and that they don't give up. And friends, I believe the Lord would say to you and to me today are we listening? We're not to focus so much on the setback. It's real, oh yes it is, on our weaknesses, but we're to focus on Jesus. See, look friend, what you may call a tragedy, what you may call a failure, what you may call just terrible fortune, may be God is calling a window of opportunity. It's a window of opportunity for you to learn. You may be given a new opportunity, a new open door. And it may be, friend, a chance to move out of your comfort zone. Jesus was spit upon. Jesus was beaten. Jesus was crucified on a cruel cross. But he did not retaliate. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Maybe somebody's here just got to forgive. You've got anger, it's just been burning away at you. You may want revenge, but it's not going to help you. What's God saying? Does he want to just now pour his Holy Spirit, his gentle spirit into you now, and bring you peace where there's turmoil? Setbacks can push us towards higher goals. Disappointments can turn into blessings when we see the eternal perspective. Let's just conclude with Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14. What I said right at the beginning, folk, I'm just so grateful for my own life, for my own experience, and what I know is true, that Jesus wants to walk you through this. Jesus wants to be part of it and walk you through, and he will be with you and in front of you when you come through the other side. This can be turned into a glorious opportunity. Philippians 3, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind. And friends, there may be that you are crying that you want restoration in a certain area of your life, a wholeness in a certain area of your life. It might be in a relationship. It might be a fractured relationship at work or within the home. It's something which has really got you down and depressed you. Since forgetting what is behind and even one's own part in that, but hey, having hope in Jesus, he can turn this situation around. He's having faith and confidence in the Lord that he wants this window to be an open window rather than a shut door. Have hope, my God. We sung that lovely old song right at the beginning of our praise this morning. What did we sing? Our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Nothing too difficult for you. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. The Apostle Paul could say, in my weaknesses, Christ Jesus is glorified. When I am weak, then I am strong. May each one of us surrender to the Lord and his plans and his purposes even now and say, have your way, O Lord, in my life. Help me not to become bitter, but better in Christ.